Blog Talk Radio.
Bring America to the point that we have one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. There are certain things that we must do. God ahead must active and positive. We must develop massive action programs all over the United States of America.
There comes a time
with the problems that
when
I
we
have
heed a certain call,
in order
when
to
the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, what a time to lend a hand.
The notion that on the time,
the greatest gift of all, pretending day by day, that the world somewhere soon will change. We are a part of life's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the
there's
a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true that we're for better days, just you and me.
Well,
send them your heart, so they know that someone cares.
and God bless you tonight. This is Cross Over without an answer to Ashe. So as we cross over tonight, I have many letters people call. This is the strawberry moon, but the Native American, they say it's the moon of the crops and the moon of God. Do you need a miracle tonight? Do you need a financial blessing? Do you need a healing, or do you need deliverance from trouble in your mind? I'm praying tonight as we cross over, Ashe. I might give you a message or two tonight from somebody from the spirit realm, okay? And I want to tell you, when I get started in giving it to you, my thing tonight is we are soldiers in the army. He's a bishop. What army? The army of righteous, the army of jealousy. We are God's army for truth and justice. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about the trillion flow. I'm talking about financial blessing, money, miracles for you. When I say money, miracles, new job, new life, and the ancestor is waiting on you, and God have already preordained you. Oh, y'all don't hit me. Let me say it again. God have preordained you, man and woman, to be special. If you don't believe it, go to the mirror, take off your hat, take off your shirt, or take off your dress and look. You got melanin because you're dark. And God using you in order to lift this world. We're in a depression, whether you know it or not. They might say, no, we in a recession, now we're in a depression. When people, gas is $7, $8, when food is high, and job is not, they're not going to pay you on the job. So, you said, Bishop, what do you, and how do you maneuver through that? As we cross over tonight, I share with our ancestors. Our ancestors, which is, they built this country from sunrise to sunset and didn't get a dime. And what they did is they said you was a third of a human. But through all of that, we have arrived, what God give you. You can't take what your mother, your dad, your ancestor did. The blood is at the altar. The blood of truth, the blood of justice. You must understand as a woman that God made you to be the goddess of the earth. And he made man to be the king of the earth or the god of the earth. Whatever you need tonight, God got what you want. God got what you need. In the spirit of our ancestors, they understood that even in slavery, even in murder, they were still soldiers. And the gem was God. When God spoke, things happened. Exodus 14:14, God said, Moses, step back. I have to take care of this. Some things I want to tell you. Don't get your mind wrapped up in so much of political stuff. It's all in divine order. Let me say it again. God is in control. you seek a higher level. You seek God. When you seek God, God will bring the angels. The answer. God will bring the right people in your vibration, and God will give you the job that you want, that you need. The guardian angel will be there to watch over you when it's time for him to watch over you. If we are soldiers, talking about the soldiers of righteousness and truth and justice, sometimes, I say, you have to let people go that don't have the same goals that you got, and they don't feel like you're worthy of them. You feel lonely and say, I got to keep this man because that's all I can get. I got to keep this woman, that's all I can get. Stop putting yourself low. Now, I'm God's best. Set back for a comeback, and I'm back. And you're going to do good. All, the Spirit tells me to tell you tonight, all is well. You don't let the devil rise and block you from your growth. You don't let negativity, saying, this is what Congress is saying, well, we got the mental problem. The mental problem is the lie told about the assault rifles. Those guns tore kids' arms off and had, you know how big as a cup, bullets cup, and the kids were together. And they still don't want to ban the assault rifles. I put it in God's hands. And if you're a soldier for God, and I ain't talking about running around with a Bible in hand, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I'm this him. I'm talking about a divine prophecy of God, a woman of God. All these religions, they fight each other. The Baptist, Catholic, all are about some money. But when you're anointed from God, the ancestors, and you will be led the right way. I was telling the lady today, she said, I'm a Christian. I said, you can go to hell a Christian, you can go to hell atheist. You better be spiritual and know you're a woman of God, you're a man of God, and decisions that you make is decisions that God and the ancestors want you to make. Okay. The man asked me, said, Bishop, I married this woman because I thought she had something. And I said, well, she ain't got nothing but you, and you got her. He said, but I made a mistake. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. You living a lie, and you let her go and she let you go. Because, you know, keeping tongue fall out, but if you married, or if you got a husband, you got a wife, y'all supposed to walk in harmony together, I say. And when you, with the ancestors, you walk in harmony. And God's going to give you the desires of your heart. I want you to get ready as we cross over to our ancestor tonight. And the scripture I'm coming up with tonight is Psalms 12 and Psalms 22 and St. Matthew 6 and 12. And in the spirit, and Psalms 72, Psalms 30, Psalms 90 and 98, and Psalms 50, and Psalms 51. 55, David said, oh, if I had wings of a dove, I'll fly away and be at rest. He was in trouble. And then David come back and said, the Lord is my shepherd. that I should not want. What he was saying to us, he was saying that I trust God. And if I'm a soldier, I'm going to do the will of God, not the will of man. Sometimes you don't have your soulmate. And you don't know it ain't your soulmate till you begin to talk and to answer to say, you don't need to be with that woman or with that man because I got somebody over here for you. But you ain't give up and let go of evil. Some of you sleeping with snakes. Y'all ain't like me. Sleeping with the devil. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, Micah and his angels fought the dragon and kicked him out. 200 angels were kicked out of the heaven realm. Azazel was with them. They went to the earth realm. And their wings were clipped. They couldn't get back. I mean, they had been kicked out for God to deal with them. I say. I want to tell you, Rose, I'm talking to you, Rose. I say. I'm giving you your message. I hear Mother Jackson, that's your mother, saying, she said, Rose, all is well. And she's smiling. Don't let nothing upset you in your journey now. That's what she's saying to you. Thank you. Robert, I want to tell you that. Okay, I'll let that go. Don't forget, we're the Seed of Abraham, blessing out of faith. Go to my website, theseedabrahamyoursite.com. Hit my home page. If you got a need to plant a seed. Lisa, I want to tell you tonight, the spirit of your father and his father, that's what I got to do. I got to tell this Father's Day coming up. Your father say everything in divine order. Don't get upset. Because what all supposed to come to you will come to you. And he got a word for you. And he gave me a scripture to give you. And what he's saying to you tonight, keep on the course that you're on. And don't worry about what people are saying and people doing. Psalms 97 and 28. He's laying back, smiling, saying that if some things this year gonna come out, and don't you fool with it, let it come out. Because he's saying when it come out, you'll know. You already know. All is well. Brother Kenner, I see your father George, and he wants you to stop drinking. He wants you to, on Father's Day, take your last drink and detox yourself. So you need a cleansing because you're right at the edge. And he said, well, Bishop, I'm not a church man, but as I come through, I want him to put the ball down and do what he's supposed to do. I say. I'm glad of that. I want to go to 23:23. Brother Jones, Francis come to me and told me to tell you, it's not in vain, because you've been worrying and you're wondering, will you make it where you're at? And she's telling me to tell you that that situation in your life is over. So she is saying to me to tell you, read Psalms 19, and that marriage is out of your vibration, and don't bring it back into your vibration. As I look in the spirit, I hear a song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. The name come to me. The name John. And John come to me. It's telling Pauline, I'm sorry. I don't know John Pauline, but he's coming through. He's coming through, letting you know that he's sorry. And at this point, you on the line. You don't know why you got on the line, but that message where you got on the line. I want to tell you, thank you, kind spirit. I want to go to 41:19. The spirit of Anne saying it's time for you to make a physical change. Don't move from your apartment and don't bring nobody in your apartment. If they can't furnish you a house, Anne said, walk away and hold your head up, because better. And Psalm 123. Thank you, kind spirit. Now, I want to go to you. 38, 40, 30, 48. Psalms 13 for you. And it seemed like that it's a healing for you. And there's three people in the spirit world. And they saying all is well, and they won't say what they want you to do. They just want me to say to you is well. Dolores, I'm seeing a person in the spirit world around you, and I'm gonna give you his name is Johnny, and Johnny apologizing. Because you know what happened. And he wants you to know that he's apologizing because you have told him to get away from where he was at. And that's why the accident. I say. Let me ring the bell now. I'm looking at 40:19. Okay. 40:19, as this woman sitting at the table smiling, saying the best is yet to come. And as she walking, your father, she got by the hand and said, reason things like the years you didn't follow through on what I told you, that's where you got caught up. And he's bowing his head. He's saying yes. I want to ask him what he want to say to the family members. He said, Bishop, and do the most of the talking. Things I did wrong because I didn't listen. And I'm being chastised for it now. Thank you, kind spirit. I just want the family, the girls, to be together. And the boys going to make transition to the point that they're going to change some things. And what you're saying, I want everybody in the family to be happy and work together. I want my girls in order to be more close to, because I see a gap between them. Okay, and what do I need to do? What do I need to tell them to get the gap where they be more close to? She said it'll come in time, because I don't know who is William. She said something about William. And she's saying something about somebody that's in the spirit world with her, and this is a brother or family member, and this is a young person, and she's just saying that at a later date she will reveal something. Thank you, Kathy. I'm going to 8130, and this lady comes and as she speaks to you, Mary, that really she listened to you and want you to listen to her and Pearl be able to work out some things. Now I want to know what you want to work out, I say. I want you to be able to finish what God wants you to do. Don't get so caught up in doing something for somebody else. I want you to do for you and be happy. Pearl, I want you to be happy, and I want you to get out of the house at certain times just to go shopping or whatever you need to do. What psalm do you want them to read? 3. She's showing me 4 graves that's already with her. And it's a man, an older man that she was telling me about. I don't know if this a father, which is your great grandfather, and he's like coming with a cane. I say, and he's waving that cane, and he don't want nobody, and he's kind of mean. He got the Indian blood in him. He said he don't want nobody in the family to be weak, to be strong, and have love for each other, and it's a coming together, and he don't want it to be no film. He want everybody to talk and don't have to talk. The young folks are more together than the older heads. So what he's telling me that the older is more divided, but the young folks are more together. Okay, and follow the lead of the young folks when they have something to do. I say. Now, I want to come to you, Helen. Helen, when I see you, I don't know why Joanne is saying that you will be all right. Just stay focused. Net down in Mississippi, the death of your nephew was a drug deal went bad. Your mother come and your grandmother saying, I told them children to get away from what they in. And that's what happened. So whatever they telling you, it's a lie. It's a drug deal. That's where the murder come. And he can't sit there. He shut down. He can't keep talking. That's just talking. Okay, thank you, Karen. I see that. I want to tell you, Gloria. Thank you, Karen. Gloria, you asked them what my father and my mama saying. Gloria, your father wants you to see about some property. And he asked him about Gary Wayne, and he asked him about your other brother, and he wants the family to come closer together. And by the way, they have a new grandbaby in the family tree on your side, Gloria. Thank you, kind sir. The land is in Louisiana. Savannah somewhere, going towards Rayville somewhere, you'll know. But check the land, and down in the bottom is a house in the bottom that got to be touched. Yeah, with that. What I see with that. I feel the energy tonight, the full moon, the energy. I want you to cleanse your house that's listening. And I want you that's listening to cleanse your house and do a prayer of the 23rd number of Psalm and Psalm 27. Is my light and my salvation. Because I just want to know that there that you are a soldier for God. And the reason I say you're a soldier, look at ain't nobody got the color that you got. We have to hold up the blood stained banner for our ancestors. The blood is already paid. I share our ancestors. And one of the things is we are soldiers because look in the mirror. Ain't nobody got the melanin and the color you got. You black people have been pushed aside, lied upon, thrown in jail, but we survived because we are the soldiers that God put out. You woman, you man, God got something special for me and you. We can't let nobody take us to the left, to the right. God made man for woman and woman for man. All that other stuff is lies. You see the lies that Trump tell. Thank you. My granddaddy was a soldier. You got to hold up the word of God tonight. And I'm praying for those that are on alcohol and drugs don't want to stop, but I rebuke that. I'm going to pray for those that are on drugs tonight. I'm going to pray because the ancestors said, tell my folks to get off the drugs and hold up the bloodstained banner. The bloodstained banner is what we have suffered June 10th. And all this, we have went through the blood. If you just stand up and pray, the home, debt free, the money you need. It might be a depression. It might be, but God, the word I want to use, no tall. You ain't got the tall. God going to give you, man, what you want. God going to give you, woman, what you want. But you got to back up and say, you got to say that the blood the blood. I'm covered under the blood. I'm covered under the blood of Jesus, the blood of the ancestors, and blood of all the saints. I'm covered. So when you step up, speak up, and walk up, set back to a comeback, and I'm back. So when you say you're back, the ancestors say you're back. Pauline, I'm praying for you tonight. Chelsea, I'm praying for you. Dr. Christian, praying for you that God will let you open up the door. I'm praying for you, Tanya Scott, Mary Scott. I haven't got you. I'm praying for Sherry. I'm praying for you. Those that in Joliet, I'm praying for those that got problems and floods and storms. God is still in the blessing and the healing business, and God will open up the door. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you remain awake through a revolution. I want to pray that you understand that when I say a soldier, I'm not talking about Johnny, I'm talking about you, a soldier based on your melanin, based on the color of your skin. Yeah, you're going to endure some things. Yeah, you're going to have some things. But God is going to open up a door for you, and you can get what you want. I'm praying for you and you tonight. All is well. Let me say it again. All is well. The storm is over. Truth got to come. See the truth coming out in 2022, the truth coming out, the lies being brought out. You know, God is bringing the truth out. And I just want you to know that God is able to do anything with fail. Okay, I got this problem for you. Edward, you text me and asked me, what about you moving to California? Edward, I'm going to tell you, if you want to move to California, ain't nobody your ancestors saying not to. But I'm going to tell you what I said. You need to stay in the Midwest. This is where your blessing at. See, it's a lot of people moving from California. It's a lot of people moving from New York. They're moving from Las Vegas because there ain't no water out there. So they're moving back to where some water. Water is life. I want to get out there. Honey, it ain't what it's made up to be. It's all magic. All lies. You think it's some people out there suffering. You know what I'm saying? They might have lots of money, but if you got God, all the silver, all the gold belongs to God. And whatever you need, God will give it to you quick, fast, and in a hurry. God will give it to you. And every door that closed tonight, he'll open it up for you. And somebody said, well, Bishop, I need a door open up for me. It's going to get open up for you. All you got to do is let go and let God open it up for you. It's going to open up for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. And now, if anybody else want a question, all you got to do, press one on your phone. I'm going to leave crossing over. I say, what I see now, I'm going to say this to you. There's so many people out there. There's so much of death. So much evil out there, you got to stay focused because of lots of negative energy out there. When I go in the spirit world now, I got Michael and Gabriel with me, and there's people crying out. There's people saying, Mama, I'm sorry. There's people saying, I don't know how I got here because Abaddon and a lot of evil going on, okay? So that's how they got there. And I just want to tell you that you got to know what's going on when you be in charge, you know what's happening with you, where you know how things come to you, how things open up for you, and every door closed will open up for you, and that door will open up a door for you. Tonight, I'm praying for you. Those that need to plant a seed, say, you said, Bishop, I got some money on the way. I want you to see. And the widow woman seeded, okay. Abraham seeded the food. And the angel told him that, get ready. And the wives can't have no baby. And look what the angel done. So I want to tell you, whatever you need, God got it. Father God, we come tonight as crossover to our ancestors. We thank you for our ancestors. We thank you for those that come before us. We stand on the foot of our ancestors, I share our shame. So we see success, joy, and love coming. Right, we're going to always speak about love. We're going to speak about joy. And we're going to speak about the word of God. Open up a door for me and you. And you don't let go. Let God open up the door for you. And let the door work for you. And it open up for you. And when it opens up for you, it's going to be a break for you right now.
Probably the largest group in beloved America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights, or the struggle to make these two Americas one America, is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggle to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public transportation was segregated. Often we had to sit in the back and within transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. The struggle was to deal with these problems. Now, certainly, they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. By the thousands, we protested these conditions. We made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. By the thousands, students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there. When they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream, seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham Movement did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. All of these things represented strife. But we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. It's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine, quality, integrated education a reality. So today, we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality, not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. And I'm convinced that many of our people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to see this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago. And I came to see that so many people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. So as a result of all of this, we see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked, but Negroes generally live in worse slums today than 20 or 25 years ago. In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. So the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of a Negro is today 50% less than white. When we look at these problems, we see them growing and developing every day. We see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate, the nation as a whole, is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market, who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs until they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they're still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They've come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. So they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons, be 6 to 7% in the Negro community. That means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. Among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30% and 40%. So you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, That is that racism is still alive in American society, much more widespread than we realize. We must see racism for what it is. It is the myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is the false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insight, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. He ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. This is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. One says that I am not good enough to live next door to him. One says that I am not good enough to eat at a lunch counter, or to have a good, decent job, or to go to school with him, merely because of my race. He is saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. Use the philosophical analogy here. Racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. This is the great tragedy of it. I say that however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see and admit that racism is still deeply rooted all over America, still deeply rooted in the North, still deeply rooted in the South. Now this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, and that is the so-called white backlash. I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon. Not something that just came into being because shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots and rocks, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a fair housing bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power, or before anybody rioted in Watts. May well be the shouts of black power and riots in Watts and the Hollands and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of it. What it is necessary to see that there has never been a single solid monistic determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans. The whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truth impels all men of goodwill to admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exile. It doesn't take as long to realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. But it has not evinced the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It is no wonder that in one of his sorrow songs, the Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial equality. but over and over again at the same time, it made certain backward steps. And this has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash. In 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery. But at the same time, the nation refused to give him land to make that freedom meaningful. At that same period, America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that would make it possible to grow and develop. Refused to give that economic floor to its black peasant, so to speak. This is why Frederick Douglass could say that emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roofs to cover their heads. It went on to say that it was freedom without bread to eat, freedom without land to cultivate. It was freedom and famine at the same time. But it did not stop there. In 1875, the nation passed the Civil Rights Bill. Refused to enforce it. 1964, the nation passed a weaker Civil Rights Bill. And even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. Nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, the poverty, brought into being a poverty bill. But at the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians and suburbs talk eloquently against open housing, and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. Now all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years. So these conditions, persistence of widespread poverty, of slums, and of tragic conditions in schools and other areas of life. All of these things have brought about a great deal of despair, a great deal of desperation, a great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro community. They all confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially powder kegs as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engage in riots. Let me say, as I've always said, I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that non-violence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense, it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots, continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way, continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see Riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. In the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last